Options Action and the following message is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. Get elite-level trading tools and powerful resources from TD Ameritrade. Trader made, trader tested, trader approved.
Hey there, we're live at the Nasdaq Market Site on a hot summer Friday. The guys here getting ready behind me while they're doing that. Here's what's coming up on the show.
Lagging the market, there's one Dow stock that's setting up for the perfect catch-up trade. We'll give you the name. Plus, Nike's set to report earnings. And do you know which way the stock is going to go? There are some interesting options trades that might shed some light. We'll break it down. And talk about hot. In the last 2 weeks, Carter predicted the surge in Oracle and Amgen. And now he's got an even bolder call to make. The action begins right now.
And let's get right to it, because everything that is old is suddenly new again. Two of the four horsemen of the 90s are surging this year. Oracle and Microsoft both up double digits, trading near their all-time high. Cisco's not far behind, up 7%, although it's well below its tech bubble levels, nearly 10% lower than its 52-week high. Meantime, Intel is down on the year, but could any of these names actually play catch-up to the rest? Let's get in the money right now. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they can. And, you know, you just mentioned Microsoft and Oracle really outperforming. Obviously, Microsoft had a great year last year. It's up 13% this year. Oracle now is playing some really quick catch-up. I know these guys made a great call last week on that one. It just gapped to new all-time highs after the results the other day, but it's up 33% on the year. A name I want to take a look at right now is Cisco. They're going to have an analyst meeting next week, and I think that could be a potential catalyst, followed by their Q4 earnings that are going to fall on August 16th, so out a ways. You know, one of the things that's really important here is that Cisco had a really bad day when they reported their fiscal Q3 last month. It was down 7%. There was a revenue miss for the guidance of this current quarter. But when you think about that, you have a big gap. The company knows that they have this analyst meeting in a few weeks here. They don't generally like to leave, something or nothing to talk about when you get there. So we have a couple charts here. I think that there's probably going to be a little good news that they held out. That's the one-year chart. It just got above 32 today. We also have a 10-year chart, which I think is really interesting, especially as we're talking about some of these other tech leaders that are making new all-time highs. Look at that one. It failed last month just below that 10-month high. And then let's go back to the 20-year as we're talking about all-time highs. If you can get above those levels, there's a lot of room to run. This is a stock that trades 13 times earnings. They have 43% of their market cap in cash, 20% net of debt, pays a 3.6% dividend. It's cheap, and there are some catalysts.
You know, I think on the upside here, certainly, if you take a look back, I mean, we're talking about Microsoft's performance this year, but really the story of that being a stale stock that was just stuck in the mud goes back quite a ways. And then what happens, same thing with Oracle, it turns out that both of these companies actually have a place in the new economy, new technology. Cisco hasn't actually provided any answers to that yet. But to its credit, it also, and to your point, trades at a big discount to the market. It's generating a lot of free cash flow. That free cash flow is likely to rise. And if you're going to try to make a bullish bet, wouldn't you rather do it right now on a company that's trading 13 times?
Let's start with what, I mean, at least from my seat, what Dan started with. Look at the long-term chart. I mean, either that is the biggest setup you can possibly have, which is that you've been in a massive range after the dot-com run-up and collapse, and that you're finally going to get out, get unstuck, get, you know, free and clear. And that is quite a constructive setup. But the daily chart has, and Dan references, a defect in the sense that there was a heavy volume drop and gap on last quarterly results. And when you drop and gap on your results, you often get a second gap in the same direction, just as a stock like, for instance, Oracle will gap once and gap twice. Gaps come in twos or threes typically. Mm. There's a lot of data on that. And the most recent gap was a down gap. So you've got a great long-term setup, but the day-to-day is maybe a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I just want to mention two points, yes, and I'll get to the trade. So one of the things that really got investors excited about Oracle was their move to the cloud and their transition, and it's a very high-margin business, but it's really only 10% of their business. You know, I think Cisco next week is going to talk about a recurring revenue model associated with maybe 10% of their business, which is software-related. So I think that could be a catalyst and fill in that gap. So to me, I think you want to target these two events. I think you want to look to August expiration, which is also going to catch their earnings announcement. So today when the stock was trading at 32.10, you could just very simply listen. option premiums are very low. So you can look out and you can buy calls here. The August 33 calls were offered at 45 cents. That's about 1.5% of the stock price. It breaks even at 33.45, up 4%. I think you get a gap fill over the next few weeks. And then I think that the earnings announcement is the catalyst to make it break out from those long-term resistance levels.
You know, I think this sets up very nicely from a risk-reward perspective because the premiums are so low, because you have identifiable catalysts. I mean, consider that whether it moved 4% in either direction, if you're going to make a bullish bet, you're going to be better off doing it with this. You're going to commit much less capital by buying this call. But in the event that Carter's right and there is some weakness and you have a gap lower, 1.5% is all you're risking.
Yep. But it sounds, Carter, like you think that any bullish bet even for a trade is too
let's
early.
Let's forget it because no one knows the future. Let's stick with what we have. We know that the most recent quarter was lousy and the stock has been a massive underperformer. That's the burden for the bull call.
Dan?
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, listen, you know, we're at a point in this bull market here where stocks can only go up. You know, we have a lot of multi-hundred billion dollar tech stocks that are up 33% in the year. I think value is kind of attractive, especially if you can tell a story that associated with some of the strength in some of the other names. So to me, I think you have a combination of cheap valuation, cheap option prices, catalysts, like Mike said, and I think this is where you want to make bets at this point in the market.
All right, well, it's Flashback Friday, not just with old tech stocks, but with another group of stocks as well. A handful of classic Dow stocks also surging this year. Boeing and McDonald's up almost 30%. 3M surging 19%. Johnson & Johnson up a whopping 18%, with United Tech rallying 11%. But our chart master here says one of these names has come too far too fast. So Carter's going to tell us which of these Dow classics is actually going to be a downer.
Well, I mean, some more than a couple have come too far too fast, but today I thought we'd look at 3M. So I want to start with a sort of an overlay of industrials as a theme, and then maybe to triangulate over to 3M. So what do we have here? Okay, so I've got a two-panel chart, and this is the S&P 500 industrials ETFs, right? So you got UTX and GE and Caterpillar and, of course, Honeywell, and then the one we're going to talk about, 3M. And I think the first thing that's important is this. We know that since December, it is up, but its relative performance, which is everything to the market, is down. And that's a defect. Let's go to a longer term chart. This is industrials again. We know we have broken out to all-time highs, but the relative performance got right back to its prior high and has been stuck there three times. I think it's going to remain stuck. So industrials are light. Now, GE is a big part of this, but hold that as a concept. And then let's go to what is either a chicken cyclical or a Dow component. But in the context of industrials, which are lagging, you've got this stock 3M, which is just taken off. So what we know is obviously year to date, big outperformer. Let's go a few more time frames. Here is 5 years, and it speaks for itself. You've got massive outperformance on the part of 3M. Here is 10 years. Circles draw themselves. The numbers speak for themselves. And here is basically back to the early 1990s, right? So, again, what I'm thinking at this point is that 3M has gone a little too far. So let's look at 3M. Five-year chart. I think you could draw the lines this way. And what we know is that you've busted out of there. There's a lot of tension, but the angle is so steep now. Often when you do that, you will actually fall back to the point from which you broke out, a slight pivot. That would be about an 8% correction down to the 195 level. Now, keep that 195 level in mind, and here is just the one-year chart. So were we to just simply check back, as we've done several times already, that would be exactly 195. That's what we're looking for. If you're long 3M, I would take profits, do something. And if you're a short seller, I'd go after this one.
Mike, what's your trade?
Yeah, I mean, from a fundamental perspective, this is an interesting one because 3M has grown EPS consistently for a lengthy period as kind of one of those rock star stocks that you could have had in your portfolio. It is, however, trading a little bit rich at this juncture, especially when you consider that the top line isn't really growing. And we've had, obviously, a very strong rally here. I'm looking at past earnings, which they're going to be reporting in July, and I think the play that you can make here is to buy the August 210-200 puts bet. You could spend $375 for the 210 puts, sell the 200s against it for $130. That's a net debit of $245, less than 25% of the distance between the strikes. It is because options premiums will be slightly elevated if they do capture a catalyst. Like earnings, even so, they are extremely cheap, and I don't really see this pulling a Costco, falling out of bed as sharply and as quickly as it did, although I don't know if you think that's the possibility.
Well,
but I was targeting the 200 level.
I think that's right. I mean, the 195, it's obviously not going to have some Amazon news that's going to do it. But it is industrials have been a problem, right, because growth is a problem. And people who have to be long, managers who have to be exposed to industrials, will often cluster a crowd into a name like this with a little bit of a chicken signal. Mm. It's got characteristics that aren't so volatile. It's a low beta stock, but it feels very complacent. The angle seems steep, and I think it's time to take profits and trend them short.
Yeah, I mean, it's a low beta stock. Also, this is not a place where a lot of fast money plays. I mean, if you take a look at all the biggest holders, I mean, it is about the slowest, you know, big money you can have. But, you know, what we're really talking about is a check back, basically. I mean, I'm thinking early June, late May.
I think that's exactly right.
Dan?
Yeah, I think that breakout level back to 200. I like the trade. I like risking 245 to possibly make 755. But I think what's really important is that Mike said is that the top line is really expected to grow 2% this year. You have maybe double-digit EPS growth, and the stock's trading 23 times. Seems kind of rich, especially when you have a straight-up move of 17% since it broke out in February. So to me, I like the idea of targeting a really intelligent range. You have some catalysts there. It's a little expensive. And I do believe that there's going to be one of these kind of complacent industrial names that are going to whiff over the next few weeks, and it may wake people up to the fact that they're crowded into some of these stories because a decent dividend yield, you know, that sort of thing. And so to me, I think that this makes sense, this trade.
All right, for everything Options Action, check out our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. While you're there, check out our super cool newsletter. It makes for a great summer beach read. So what are you waiting for? Here's what's coming up next.
That may be the case. But Mike Coe has some ideas on how you can make money on Nike when it reports earnings next week. He'll break it down. Plus, calling all Options Action fans. Reach into your pocket, grab your phone, and tweet us your question at Options Action. If it's nice, we'll answer it on air when Options Action returns. Get tomorrow's news today with the Futures Now newsletter. You'll get the latest news, real-time trade updates, and a sneak peek at our biggest interviews. Stay ahead of the headlines and make today's events tomorrow's profits. Sign up now at cnbc.com/futuresnowemail.
Welcome back to Options Action. Finish Line surging more than 7% today after its earnings report and taking other sneaker stocks higher along with it. And the group will be in focus next week when the biggest sports retailer of them all reports. That would be Nike. Dom Chu's at the New York Stock Exchange with a look at what we can expect. Hi, Dom.
The shadows are getting long, Melissa, and that means we're near the tail end of earnings season. So that tail of the end of earnings season always includes that biggest athletic apparel maker of them all. Of course, we're talking about Nike. So what should investors expect out of Nike when it reports earnings next Thursday after the closing bell? So let's get the headline numbers out of the way. According to consensus analyst estimates from Thomson Reuters, Nike is expected to report earnings of 50 cents a share on total revenue of $8.6 billion. Of course, there's going to be a lot of attention being paid to the commentary about future sales orders now. From a trading perspective, here are the numbers you're going to want to keep an eye on. The options market currently pricing in what could be a move of around 5.5% up or down on the heels of the report. Over the longer term, the average move is up or down around 5%. Now, according to FactSet, over the last 8 reports, Nike stock has finished lower out of 6 of them. But the average move has been 2.5% up or down. So, Melissa, options traders think possibly more volatility. Recent history says maybe less volatility. We're going to find out on Thursday after the bell and, of course, regular session trading on the following Friday. Back over to you folks.
All right. Thank you, Dom Chu. Have a good weekend. So if you're worried Nike could run into some hurdles, don't, because Mike has a way to play the stock that will make you money no matter what happens. Professor Coe, take it away.
Sure thing. So we're going to take a look at selling and call spread. You're going to get some sense of the sentiment that I have on this, because you sell call spreads, generally speaking, when you are neutral to bearish on the underlying stock. One nice thing about selling call spreads, like selling options in general, you're raising the probability of profit of your trade. And unlike selling calls naked, which is something we don't necessarily advocate for most people, when you're selling a call spread, you can do this whether or not you happen to own the stock. So specifically, the trade I'm looking at is I'm looking out to July. I wanted to basically target this level where it had fallen out of bed, basically. And you can sell the 53.5, 54.5 put spread and collect 35 cents for that. And I think we probably want to take a look at what Carter has to say about it technically. But you're basically collecting 35% of the total maximum value. Think about what Dom just said. He said that the options market is implying a larger than average move, but actually lately it hasn't been moving that much. And that's one of the reasons why a short premium trade might be the way to play this one.
All right, so we go to Carter because he said, let's check in with Carter on that.
He did. I heard that. So technically, it doesn't look very good. I mean, the reality is that this is a marquee stock. Stock markets and marquee stocks are making all-time highs, and this thing is down 20% off of its all-time high and acting poorly. It has two heavy volume drops and gaps over the last several months, and those are often associated with news, and often it's earnings news. Something's not right.
So two gaps, not one gap. Yeah. So they usually come in twos or threes. Maybe it's cleared the hurdle with that, and then it announced this deal, maybe selling things directly to Amazon.
I think that's a really the most important point here right now. I think expectations are very low, despite it trading at a premium to the market. I know it's down 20% from its all-time highs made almost 2 years ago. It's down 10% from its 2017 highs. That just tells me, sentiment is not particularly rosy in the name. So you have a setup here where if it holds that $50 level, which was a really big level a few years back, then to me, you can probably buy the stock because there are some catalysts. We understand that there's some headwinds to the business. We know that athleisure is really in a tough spot. Under Armour's down 25%. Lulu's down 15%. This stock is down. You know, this stock is actually still up on the year, believe it or not. But to me, if you can get through this report and investors aren't spooked by guidance,
I mean, some of these catalysts, like Amazon. To Mel's point, okay, so they just announced this big thing, which is something you've actually
been
talking about.
Well, they haven't announced it yet.
But this is what we think is going to happen. That creates a backstop, right? To the degree that people think that's a forward-looking thing that investors are going to be thinking about. And that could actually mute the potential move out of this earnings, whether the news is good, bad, or somewhat indifferent, which I think is one of the reasons why you might be inclined to sell some premium going into the catalyst, because it is implying a larger move. And there are plenty of reasons why it might not be so great this time around.
I mean, this is not what I do. I'm not in the why business. I'm in the what business. Why is Nike acting so poorly? What is the problem?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on right here. We talk about retail almost every night on this desk. I actually think they're probably one of the best retailers out there. When you think of their actual bricks and mortar retail experience that they control, it's phenomenal. They do have a problem on some of the lower end, let's say with a Foot Locker and that sort of thing. Look at the performance there. I think if they do a deal with Amazon, I think it really makes front and center. It puts, gives them the proper ownership that they need on the web. They do a great job on their own site. They have their great bricks and mortars. They have a mobile strategy. I think there's a lot of things going for them.
Their operating business is nothing to suggest there's big upside. It's a catalyst-driven kind of thing that would make it go up.
Well, no. I mean, at this point, it's a premium brand that's always traded at a premium multiple. And I think that in the near term, or in the last year, it's been Adidas who's kind of been eating their lunch a little bit.
I do think, though, that even premium brands, and especially those that are trading at premium multiples, are probably the area that are most at risk. When you have when you're looking at
what about Starbucks? I mean, we were talking about Starbucks in the same light as Nike just a couple months ago, and Starbucks just went and made a new 52-week high. Now, it's since come back here.
Different chart, though.
Well, they looked pretty similar at one point.
Here's the thing that makes something go up. It has to stop going down first. Nike's still going down. Starbucks had started to turn.
Well, I think it's held 50 pretty nicely.
You don't have to come out with a new version of coffee. People are going to go back for it every day.
Still ahead, Carter has a hot hand blowing it out of the water with his smoking calls on Oracle and Amgen. He'll tell you where he sees each of these stocks heading next. Plus, dig deeper into your pockets, pull out your phone, think nice thoughts, because we are taking your tweets later in the show. Much more Options Action coming up. Welcome back to Options Action. It's time to take a look back at some of our open trades. Now, just last week, Cohen Carter said Oracle could break out on earnings.
That gap, that was a big beat, and I think you'll get another one right here, and the stock will gap up on its earnings. Wow. I want to play for that for new all-time highs in Oracle, a old line tech that can come to life.
I'm looking at the August 41, 45, 48 call spread risk reversal. You would pay $1.35 for those 45 straight calls and then sell one of the 48 calls and one of the 41 puts against it at 35 cents each.
Well, the stock was up 14% this week. What a call, Carter. What's next?
Well, it's nice when they cooperate. We all know what happens when they don't. but anyway, it is sort of in line with the presumption that it would be a news-related gap. Now I have two. We're at all-time highs. I think you got to book this and just move on to the next.
I mean, there's only a little over 30 cents in profit potentially remaining because it went well through that 48 strike call that we're short. We invested 65 cents in this thing. It was quite a victory. It could have been an even better one if I'd really believed that it was going to gap as sharply as you obviously did. But it's a win, and we're taking the money and running.
What would you do?
Yeah, so this is a scenario I think you do. You move on. But if you're increasingly bullish in the story, I think here's a scenario where you look at that gap out level or the breakout level, and you could actually start to sell puts at those levels. I know that premiums have come in a little bit, but that's where you'd want to buy the stock back, and there's no reason to think that this thing should fill in that whole gap. So to me, that's a good trade going forward, selling puts at the breakout, which to my eye is about $47.
Didn't you say not to sell puts in this one?
What, in this name in particular last week?
Last week, I thought that's what we were listening to.
Now it's a good time.
Listen, a breakout to all-time high, a massive volume. I mean,
the gap is there, you write the puts underneath.
All right, now on to another winning call here. Almost a month ago, Cohen Carter bet on a big Amgen surge.
I think this two-year consolidation is likely the setup for a next powerful advance from arguably the number one stock ever.
I'm looking out to September. I'm looking specifically at the September 160, 175 call spread. When I was looking at this earlier today, you could buy the September 160 calls for about $5.85, sell the 175s against it for $1.20. That's a net debit of $4.65.
All right, it's up 10% since that call. What do the charts say?
As a thing from Oracle, I think we stick with this one. This has got a lot of time left in terms of what it could do in terms of a chart.
Stick with it.
We do stick with it, but what we do is we adjust. We roll up.
All right, up next, your tweets and the final call. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Options Action. Time to take your tweets. Our first viewer asks, why in some cases do traders sell calls instead of buying puts? Mike.
The answer is very simple. If you think the move is going to be sharp, you should buy puts. And if you think it's going to sit there and do little or nothing, then you should sell calls.
All right. Time for the final call. Last one from the Options Pits. Carter.
3M. I'm a seller.
Mike.
Nike. I'm a call spread seller in earnings.
Dan.
Yes. Cisco. They have this analyst meeting next week. I think upside calls make sense.
All right, looks like our time has expired. I'm Melissa Lee. Thanks so much for watching. For more Options Action, check out the website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday for Fast.